You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
Oh, it's a little bit of a bloodbath underway here. The favorite group of stocks, so to speak, you know, the AI group, the nuclear group, you know, power, you know, I guess it's the whole high-tech group that I guess involves a vast majority of the percentage gains in the stock market and also the weighting in the major indexes sort of start to fall apart here the last few days, led by the big name NVIDIA. You know, it's really a dangerous situation. I mean, when you listen to somebody like Warren Buffett, who, for example, dumped over $6 billion in stocks in the past 3 months, warning that, in a way, warning that something was coming and he's hoarding cash. A man like that who's, what, had about like 20% a year type returns for decades, probably the leading money manager on the planet, and you see the stock market concentrated really in a handful of stocks, you know, the Magnificent Seven, and then more recently, you know, the AI, you know, play, the companies that are tied to that or into nuclear power generation, trying to create power for this you know, this fantasy that AI is going to solve all our business and economic and social problems, that, you know, this is the answer to the political, cultural, and business universe. It really got to an extreme here. I mean, the amount of money being thrown there, that the unnatural weighting in terms of the few stocks that are running the market. I mean, there's something, the statistics like, you know, 70% of the gains have been five stocks, you know, if you look at the major indexes. I mean, it's like incredibly stupid stuff that's been going on, and you can see why someone who's conservative, like a Warren Buffett, who, by the way, didn't even participate in the dot-com bubble, you know, when it occurred back in the year 2000, you know, he didn't even get involved in those stocks. And, of course, you saw the crash that came afterwards. That type of scenario is being set up. And, you know, old-timers like me, so to speak, you know, sure, you can trade these things, but to fall in love with these names and just watch them go up and up and up when most stocks really weren't participating really flies against any of your experience or even common sense. So, you know, for the young people, for those who just trade momentum, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I mean, we were guilty of doing some of that ourselves and over the years. It just sets up a big danger zone, and we've entered one of those. One of the offsets, just to be a little contrary here for the moment, is that, you know, we're at the time of year where we have the potential Thanksgiving rally coming up. Yale Hirsch, my old friend and mentor from the 1970s, you know, he created that idea of the turkey shoot concept in his very famous Stock Trader's Almanac. And basically, maybe we're going to set up for some type of bounce day before, day after. This is the U.S. Thanksgiving, of course. But the, you know, charts are looking, you know, dangerous to me. I'm looking at the S&P 500, and, you know, basically it had a huge, huge move. Let's see, you know, we're going back to, let's say, March of this past year. We had a big move in the S&P at that time. Let me pull up the chart here as we're talking. It got to, let's see here, it was around the 6,000 level. And now we got all the way up to 6,900, nearly 7,000 level. So, you know, I think we're going to pull back basically to where we were back in that February, March period, which is, you know, you're looking at a 10% correction in the market at the very least. So we generated what my technical work, you know, calls the volume reversal, negative volume reversal, and we're short here. I think, you know, despite the fact, you know, we talked about the Thanksgiving rally, the turkey shoot, the Santa Claus rally. I mean, maybe it's not going to unfold here right away. Maybe it'll be delayed till after January. But I think you're in a time frame. You got to be careful. And if you're trading day to day, it's sort of irrelevant what I'm saying. But when the NVIDIA starts to come down and Microsoft and Meta start to pull off a bit, and GE Vernova, which, you know, is big in the nuclear and also natural gas creation equipment, you know, you get a sense that the party may be over here short term for, you know, on a short term basis, and maybe long term. You know, what's long term mean? Is that 3 months, 6 months, 3 years? You don't know, but we're way extended. So a little, I'm careful here, and everybody's waiting on the Federal Reserve in December, December 9th meeting, and most recent futures percentages that are coming out indicate there may only be a 50% chance that the Fed will lower rates another quarter or half a point at that meeting, and that you know, that puts a shockwave into Wall Street because everybody was counting on a super aggressive Fed here, knowing that Jay Powell is going to be leaving and a new Fed chairman was coming in next year and so forth, but may not happen. And, of course, a lot of the government statistics, which I don't believe anyway, have been held up because of the government shutdown. So, you know, the Fed has a lot of excuses for not lowering rates here in early December. And so that, you know, gets everybody nervous. And, you know, I could care less what the Fed does and doesn't do. You know, I'm looking at the charts. I'm also looking at the bond market, which is really, we've talked about ad nauseum here on these broadcasts, is really the story, not what the Fed does with the Fed funds rate. You know, what is the 30-year or 20-year bonds doing? And if they're not rallying, which means lower interest rates, that's a bad sign. And the bonds have been coming down in the last few days, and that's higher interest rates, and that's not good for mortgages, and that's not good for business. And so, you know, it's the party may be over. I mean, that's really the bottom line here. I guess if we had a title of the broadcast, the party may be coming to an end. And we had a nice party, and, you know, we have bull and bear markets. And, you know, the Dow got the new records, 48,000. I remember during the COVID crash, I was sitting there watching the television set at the time, talking to my wife. I said, you know, I think it got to 18 or 19,000 in the Dow at the bottom of that COVID crash in March 2020. And I say, boy, this is a time to buy stocks. And sure enough, and I just, common sense response. Of course, it's been 5 years, but, you know, 18,000 to 48,000. I mean, you know, that's kind of thing you know, good IRA and retirement accounts are looking for, you know. So, you know, we have our ups and downs in the market, and we've got, I think, too far too fast. So anyway, that's sort of the summary of what's happening out there. A little disappointment on all the super bulls out there that are high tech stocks, and their super computing future got called into question a little bit this week, and some of the high flyers start to sell off. And unfortunately, some of those high flyers weigh heavily in the indexes. So, you know, the Dow is down almost 800-900 points in trading today. I think it closed a little less than that, but it start to look like a crash.
What's going on with gold?
Gold is a little bit toppy here. Silver did better last couple of days. Silver actually posted a little double top on the charts, which is also a tad bit bearish. So if it could break through this $55, $56 level, it's actually $56 would be the breakout. I'm pricing this in U.S. dollars, of course. Then you might see $60 in silver, but it hit a little double top here, so you got to watch it carefully if you're a trader, if you're an investor. My comments are relevant anyway. Gold, the charts to me indicated that it blew off when it got up to the 4,500 level. It sold down to about 3,900. Now it's around 4,100. Again, we're pricing this in U.S. dollars. The charts tell me we should go to 3,300. We should have more of a correction. But, you know, I'm not selling the gold coins in the vault or anything like that. I'm just telling you what the charts say could be happening here, and I could be dead wrong, and it could just reverse and just break out as the big trend is still up. So the big trend's up. Chart said we hit a little top, and we'll see if you know, it reinstates itself. If it does, and we take out 3,900 in gold, we're going to see 3,300. Silver did hit a little double top here in the 55 area. If that holds, then we could see $42, $43 on the downside on a correction. And you'll have to decide if you want to trade that or just ignore it. Depends, again, what your perspective is, but don't be surprised if it happens.
What's going on with Bitcoin?
Bitcoin needs some Pepto-Bismol or Alka-Seltzer. It's got a serious case of indigestion here. It got up to 126,000 in August. It's been sloppy ever since. There's a little pattern that we identified that says that when Bitcoin tops out, the stock market tends to top out about 6 weeks later. And the top in Bitcoin was in August, and it seems to be tying in nicely here with the stock market. So we got down under 100,000 today momentarily. It looks like 93,000 in Bitcoin. Looking at the charts, and if that doesn't hold, maybe 75,000 again is possible. The big disappointment for me today was looking at the trading action in XRP, which is one of the new hot cryptos. There's a whole list of new crypto ETFs that are being applied for at the Securities and Exchange Commission. They're supposed to come, or a good part of them are supposed to come this month or next month. One of the new ones started to trade today. So initially, XRP rallied because of the new ETF. Again, that's a theory that we had talked about in the past. You know, when you create an ETF like GLD or Bitcoin, IBIT, which we saw last year with BlackRock, it tends to bring buying into that commodity. So BlackRock's IBIT helped stimulate the rally in Bitcoin last year, and the GLD gold, the ETF we all know over the years, helped create buyers in gold. So this other ETF, XRP, came today, and there was some buyers, but it faltered into the end of the day. So that's a little bit of a negative, I guess, confirming that maybe the whole group is a little tired here. So I'm a little cautious here on the crypto short term until we get a renewed buy signal, but I still think the big trend is up, and I'm taking a 3 to 5 year perspective with these. I think there'd be a huge, huge moves are ahead, but I'm not holding my breath that it's happening, you know, in 1 year or 6 months. I think this is a big sea change, so to speak, to the financial system, and it's going to take some time until you see other cryptos do what Bitcoin did, but got to keep in mind, there's government behind it, legislation behind it. If you talk to or listen to interviews with Treasury, U.S. Treasury Bessent, and what they're planning to do with the financial system and incorporating crypto into the system and so forth, there's a lot of positive things coming. Again, it could take a couple years until it all unfolds, which would take time for, you know, significant price increases in many of these commodity ETFs. Now, one other example is Ethereum ETH, which is a popular one. I guess that's the second most popular one to Bitcoin. It's, I guess, the second most expensive. It trades around $3,200 a coin. The charts say it could be up 10 times in the next few years in value, which means a $3,200 Ethereum could be $32,000. Again, that could be a 3 year comment, 5 year comment. But look what Bitcoin did, you know, from 2011 to 2025, from what, a couple hundred dollars to $126,000. So if you have a longer term perspective, I would say, as is gold or silver, you know, a certain portion of your portfolio should own it. And just put it away and just say this is a long-term play because they're both in that type of, you know, that both type of cyclical pattern, in my opinion. But again, patience. Boy, you really had to have patience for gold here in the last 10 years, that's for sure. You know, it looked like it was never going to go up. Same thing with, you know, Bitcoin. It struggled for a number of years, you know, a lot of volatility up and down, and majority of opinion was it was going to go to zero, and the opposite happened. So it's just a question of patience with these. But to answer your question, short-term negative, and we're waiting for the short-term positives to come back in as a trader. But a long-term, I think you have to be a holder.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap,
with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything happening with crude?
Crude is still a little bearish in my work, you know, in terms of the overall trend. I don't have a position in it now. I'm still thinking, as I mentioned, you know, in the last several months or even longer than that, that we had an initial downside target of $55. It got there. We have an alternate target that never got fulfilled, $47. It's been trying to rally the last couple of days. Of course, I mentioned when we discussed natural gas, we should talk about natural gas, which has been going up. It's in a little bit of a rally phase now for the last couple of days. I'm not in a position, but my position is to get short when I get another little trading sell signal, thinking that we're going to get another wave down, which is good for the economy. It's good for business. High crude oil prices are a tax on both the consumer and business, and if you see a big move in crude oil here to the upside, that's going to hurt the stock market and the economy, so we don't want to see that. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but my technical analysis said over time we should see lower crude oil prices, which should translate into positives at the for the gas prices and for the economy in general. So I've been trading this ETF, SCO, which is an inverse ETF for crude oil. We're not in it at the moment. We had some nice trades in it during the year, and we're just sort of waiting for another short sale opportunity. Just to jump to the next question, because I already mentioned it, natural gas has been in a little bit of a tear here, and looks like it's going to go much, much higher. I think the real play is in natural gas, if you wanted to be long energy more than crude oil, though crude oil may fool me here a little bit and go up more than I would have thought short term. But natural gas is really cheap compared to where it's been. You know, looking at the charts, for example, you've got, you know, trading around, well, the ETF for the natural gas is around $14 a share. Believe it or not, you know, in the last couple of years, it's been as high as $120, $130. So it's really down there and depressed, and it looks like it might have turned. We have winter coming up, and we also have this perception that the nuclear realization for many of the high-tech companies, the AI power centers that everybody's been hoping that would generate the needed power for, you know, the supercomputing and so forth. It's going to take time, and natural gas could be a great short-term substitute to generate the needed power. So I'm a bull on natural gas, and I think it has a lot of potential here, short and even near-term. Many of the nuclear facilities that are in the works could be 3 to 5 years until they're implemented. And so I'm about to say we're in natural gas 3 to 5 years, but short-term is looking pretty good. So getting a little rally here in crude and natural gas. I'm more bullish on natural gas and crude, but we're waiting for sell opportunity on crude. So that's my analysis at the moment.
Any long-term outlook for utilities with an anticipated huge demand for power for these AI data centers?
There's a lot of concern that the utilities could get some negative feedback here because of the increased cost that would be translated to the consumer. You know, if so much demand is placed upon them by the commercial users and their shortage of power, and until they can get all these power facilities up and running and the new nuclear generating stations underway, there could be price pressure to the upside, and that means utility bills for the average person could go up at the pretty much at their expense because of demand on the big commercial users. And there might be some need government intervention or legislation here or subsidizing or something because it can get out of hand. I mean, it's like it's almost insane what's happening. Overnight, suddenly the commercial world decided that they wanted nuclear and superpower and they needed electricity, which before they didn't need, and throwing billions of dollars into that area. And it's a panic that we have to have the power, or we can't do our high-tech analysis. We can't do our AI work. We can't do all the supercomputing that's demanding of us in terms of our work into this area and forcing prices, energy prices, to go up. So there could be some negative feedback here in terms of over the short term, in terms of the public response to this, particularly if they see prices going up for energy, which is happening. So it's a very dynamic situation here at the moment, Jim. You know, I'm just getting readings of what I'm hearing and feeling and the panic situation out there, the fact that they need all this power and it's going to take time for it to actually come online, and is natural gas a substitute, and can the generators actually be put in place in time even for natural gas, and will that prevent utility bills from going up, or it'll take time even for that to happen? So it's a very dynamic situation here. So I just think everyone went nuts with this AI. I mean, they just went crazy. The supercomputing demands came out of nowhere. You know, for years, we don't need the power. We don't want nuclear. It on and on and on. Suddenly overnight, they want it and throw billions and billions of dollars in it. And, we have to have it today. And it's not going to happen today. I mean, there could be some real price pressures here. So I wouldn't be surprised, as I mentioned, being repetitive here, but you could see utility bills go up, and there could be some real problems here because of that.
Do you think they might have a special higher rate for AI data centers to offset that cost to the consumers?
Good idea. I don't know all the details. I just hear there's a lot of discussion about what's going to happen if the big demand power users and their demands aren't met, and is there an alternative? And I think it's going to involve government intervention or subsidy or something to happen here. There's already discussion of it because if they're taking all the power off the grid for their own selfish reasons, and the consumers aren't getting their power or their prices go up because of that, you're going to have a lot of unhappy people up there, particularly with concerns for inflation and the cost of living and everything else that's been going on. So the truth is, a lot of prices have come down for food and other things, and the impact of tariffs haven't been negative as everybody thought would be. There have been exceptions, of course, but but if crude oil starts rallying here and gas prices go up, and you're going to see if utility bills go up too, I mean, it's going to be a mess. So, maybe that's what the market is telling us here. That's why maybe the high flyers, the big high-tech players, particularly in this area that we're talking about, start to sell off here. You know, the realization is it could take time for all this to be implemented. In the meantime, there could be pressure on prices, and stocks may not respond favorably, and it may cause the precipitate the correction we're starting to see right now. So, we're running into a little bit of a treacherous period, I think.
Anything happening in the cannabis market?
Cannabis has been sideways to lower. It's been really quiet. It's been correcting with the market. Nothing. I'm just watching them like we do every day. We had that big surge three months ago on the Donald Trump comments about how seniors should have access to cannabis, and then everybody's sort of holding their breath here to see what he says or what the U.S. government says in terms of rescheduling cannabis, and it's been on a hold. So they're just sort of... What I'm saying is they're just very news-related. You know, some news story comes out that could affect them in terms of legislation or what Donald Trump says or doesn't say. That'll affect the prices. But they're still cheap compared to where they were, a few years ago. And there's still a play there. You just got to watch for an entry point and or another news story.
Anything on the geocosmic front to look out for?
Yeah, we got some geomagnetic storms that are forecast likely in the next couple of days. I don't know what this really means in terms of the markets. You know, we may see some more auroras around, which, obviously is pretty to look at. I don't think there's a super powerful one headed our way. We don't know until it gets here, I guess. In the meantime, we're watching other stuff, and this gets off a little bit on the tangent in terms of cycles, but we look at a lot of things out there. We have, of course, the lunar cycles and so forth. We had a full moon on November 5th, and that was within a day or two of the market high, and we have a new moon coming up on November 19th, which is just before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. So there's some correlation. You know, of course, we watch closely the lunar cycles for change of direction in the markets. So there seems to have been some correlation there. And we are in this period called Mercury retrograde. I'm not a financial astrologer. I'm just telling you what I read and what I've seen over the decades. And we're in this period where if you look at Mercury as an Earth-based observer, it looks like it's going backwards in the sky. And they define that as a retrograde action. For whatever reason, over the centuries, there's a correlation with the movement of that pattern. And it's a cycle which it affects us here on Earth in one form or another. And in terms of its current pattern, it's in this retrograde motion between November 9th, which started this past week, till the 19th of the month. So when it does that, there tends to be, in terms of economic response or market response, there tends to be a lot of jitteriness and a lot of false moves in a lot of directions in the markets. And it only happens a few times a year. So in terms of the lunar cycle and the Mercury retrograde, and we're not even going to mention the solar flares, there's a lot of little stuff going on right now. So it looks like November is a choppy month, and we started off that way, and it may continue. So that would be my interpretation of looking at all these three elements. So maybe we get a bounce around Thanksgiving, but we may be headed lower, and these could have all been part and parcel to the triggers.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
I'm just watching and waiting for pleasant weather here in Arizona. I'm enjoying this time of year when it cools off. So that's what I'm focusing on, more opportunity to walk my dogs and take hikes and enjoy the weather.
So you wouldn't be offended if I said, hey, take a hike?
Not at all. Especially if I can take my two dogs with me, and as long as I don't run into any coyotes, which has been a problem down here. And we're doing a broadcast now, but we might as well tell the story. I mean, there's like a coyote infestation, and you and I talked about this off air, but it's happening here in the Phoenix area. So a couple of dogs have been lost where the coyotes come in and physically grab them and drag them off and eat them. What was a story within two blocks of my house here where apparently a coyote actually entered the house with the door was open, grabbed the dog, and it was too late to save it. So as a result, I'm carrying a gun when I go for a walk with my dogs and a big stick. And I've actually been followed by three coyotes walking down the street that seem to want to follow me when I'm walking with my dogs. They don't get close enough that I have to do anything to protect myself. But even though I enjoy the fact that we have pleasant weather, we have to deal with coyotes. So they're beautiful animals. I don't want to hurt them. They may want to hurt me, but particularly my dog. But it's an interesting phenomenon living here in this part of the world. Of course, you have the same situation up there. We also have javelinas here, the wild pigs that run around occasionally see, and I've actually seen two bobcats in my driveway here within the last year walking down the driveway. So just got to keep less concerned for myself. If my dog is out there, I think we're going to have a problem. So anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to here is avoiding coyotes and enjoying the weather.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
I'm sure our listeners are happy to hear that. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from the wilds of Arizona, it sounds like. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.